We're going to be signing today and registering national emergency. And it's a great thing to do because we have an invasion of drugs, invasion of gangs, invasion of people, and it's unacceptable.
That was President Trump this morning at the White House declaring a national emergency. It is his way of getting money without congressional approval so he can build new barriers along the U.S. border with Mexico and, of course, fulfill a campaign promise. The president appears ready to sign a spending bill that the House and Senate passed yesterday. That bill provides just under $1.4 billion for border fencing. And that means, Jeremy, if he does sign it, there will not be another government shutdown at midnight tonight.
Let's turn to our Friday Politics Roundtable. Sahil Kapoor, national political reporter for Bloomberg News. Hi, Sahil.
Hi.
And Kelsey Snell, NPR congressional reporter, is with us as well. Hi, Kelsey.
Hi there.
And first of all, Peter said if he does sign it. He never said in his press conference today, as far as I can tell, Kelsey, I'll start with you, whether he would actually sign the bill that Congress is passing in order to avoid a government shutdown.
Well, you know what I think is really notable, that the reason we know that President Trump plans to sign this was because Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell went to the Senate floor and said so. It is very, very, very rare. I can really not think of any other time when the Majority Leader would go and preempt the president like that.
He was trying to get it out there. I mean, basically,
yes,
so the president couldn't take it back.
Notably, he was in such a rush to do so that he interrupted another senator while he was speaking. And I think that, you know, there was a strong desire here in the Capitol to calm the nerves of all of the Republicans who were worried that the president was going to change his mind after saying he supported this. So that is one of the major issues running all through the halls up here,
right,
is the concern that the president will not go along with what he said he's going to do.
And Sahil, what about the national emergency declaration? Why is this wall worth all this risk for the president? A lot of Republicans are not happy about him declaring a national emergency and trying to find the money elsewhere to build the wall.
It's worth it to the president because this was a central campaign promise in his 2016 election campaign. He tried repeatedly for the first 2 years of his presidency to get this through the appropriations process. He was blocked every step of the way. He has lost the battle of public opinion and he has lost the battle in Congress. And it was up to him to decide at this point whether to take executive action and try to do this unilaterally, do this by fiat, or whether to surrender on it entirely. Those were his two options, and he decided that the surrender option was not feasible. Now, the national emergency declaration is going to be challenged. Democrats are likely going to file a lawsuit and say this is illegal, likely unconstitutional, and there will be votes in the House and the Senate to rescind it. The House Democrats likely have, almost certainly have, a majority of votes to rescind this declaration. In the Senate, it's going to be trickier. If Democrats hang together, they need 51 votes. So that means four Republicans. Plausible. It's plausible that both the House and the Senate pass a measure to rescind this national emergency declaration, but then it goes to the president. He can veto it. He almost certainly will. And that would require a two-thirds majority in Congress to override.
Kelsey, do Republicans have that in the Senate?
Well, I think one of the things, the interesting dynamics here is that we expect that the House will vote on this first, which will in effect force the Senate to vote on it about 2 weeks later. So there will be immense political pressure and a lot of national attention on the Senate. And there are a number of Republican senators, I spoke to more than a dozen yesterday, who have serious concerns about the use of a national emergency when it comes to changing the way the government spends money. They worry both about the precedent that it sets, and the fact that Congress really does believe that they have what they refer to as their Article I powers, their constitutional powers to make the decisions about how the government spends money. And the president making a decision about a national emergency for something that is essentially a political issue about spending money is really hard for a lot of them to swallow. So it's entirely possible that some Republicans could get on board with pushing back on the president on this, though it's very, very early in the process. It's too hard to say right now.
It's
the
clear.
Precedent,
yeah,
if I
ahead,
can just add, yeah, is enormously important because the fear among Republicans is that if the president can use a national emergency declaration to achieve a policy goal that is controversial and can't be done through the normal process, what's to stop a Democratic president from declaring a national health emergency and setting up a single-payer system without Congress? What's to stop a Democratic president from declaring a national climate emergency and funding a Green New Deal? Once you start going down this road, the possibilities are fairly limitless. Now, I did, like Kelsey, speak to a number of Republican senators who expressed concerns in opposition to this initiative by the president. People like Marco Rubio, Roy Blunt, Pat Toomey were among them, but none of them committed to necessarily voting to rescind this.
True.
So it's not clear to me at all that there will be a two-thirds majority to override the
president.
Well,
and what about the president's base? Ann Coulter, who was one of the people who pressured him against signing the deal, a month ago, that ended up leading to the longest government shutdown in U.S. history. She tweeted out after this deal was agreed to, "The goal of a national emergency is for Trump to scam the stupidest people in his base for two more years." Kelsey, is this not playing well with the people that Trump is trying to make nice with this wall?
Well, the entire conversation about this spending bill and the wall has become fairly toxic for the president among some sector of his base. Though a lot of Republicans I talk to point out that the president doesn't need to spend all of his time catering to his base these days. His base is with him. It's the rest of the Republican Party and the independents that he should be worrying about. So I think it's very hard to tell exactly what the president's long-term plan here is politically, though it's very clear that he wants to shore up the promise that he made on the campaign trail.
Sahil, you mentioned the Green New Deal. Now, yesterday, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer challenged Mitch McConnell to say on the Senate floor that climate change is real, that it's human-caused, and that Congress should do something about it. Now, that's because McConnell agreed to allow a vote on the Democrats' Green New Deal, which you mentioned, that was co-sponsored by freshman Democrat Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And Schumer essentially said, let's bring it on.
You think it might embarrass Democrats to vote on a non-binding resolution that some of us may support but not others? Trust me, we'll be fine. Because the American people know that our entire party actually believes that climate change is happening and it's caused by humans.
What do you make of this bet that McConnell is making here? Because, I mean, after all, that is what the Senate is supposed to do. It is supposed to vote and debate issues.
It is a familiar tactic by a majority party to try to vote on a piece of legislation, or as in this case, a resolution that's not actually legislation that would divide the other side. Now, we know many centrist Democrats are uncomfortable with the reach of the Green New Deal. It would essentially eliminate all fossil fuels by 2030, which is enormously ambitious. It's not so much a policy as it is a vision. But these things tend not to work. I mean, I spoke to a number of progressive activists, and none of whom said they would, you know, they would oppose or object to Democrats voting no on this. They view this as a conversation happening within the Democratic Party. They see this as an effort by McConnell simply to put them on the spot and to divide them. And, you know, I don't think this is necessarily going to have the effect that McConnell wants it to. I asked Senator Durbin about this, the number two Democrat, and he said he's not worried about it at all. I asked him why he thinks McConnell is doing it. His reply was, I quote, "It amuses some small-minded senators," unquote.
Kelsey, let me ask you about another freshman Democrat, which would be Ilhan Omar, who was rebuked by the Democratic Party this week, right up to Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker, after tweets that were seen as anti-Semitic. President Trump called for her to resign from Congress over the tweets. But on CNN, host Jake Tapper pretended his control room couldn't sort out the numerous times Trump and other Republicans had also said objectionable things that were and weren't called out for it. He played some clips of Trump. Here it is.
Is there anybody that doesn't renegotiate deals in this room? This room negotiates. I want to renegotiate this room. Perhaps more than any room I've ever spoken to. Maybe more. It's okay. No, I've been called on that a couple of times, too. You're not going to support me, even though you know I'm the best thing that could ever happen to Israel. And I'll be that. And I know why you're not going to support me. And, you know, you're not going to support me because I don't want your money. You don't want to give me money, okay? But that's okay. You want to control your own politician. That's fine.
I'm sorry. That was the wrong clip. That was then-candidate Trump in front of the Republican Jewish Coalition suggesting that haggling Jews like to control their politicians with their money.
Okay, so there's Jake Tapper on CNN. Kelsey, what do you make of this, the Trump administration coming out so strongly and saying Ilhan Omar should resign over this, even though people have pointed out that there have been a lot of statements seen as anti-Semitic coming from the Trump administration?
Well, Democrats have responded by pointing that out exactly. They say that the president is reacting in a way that is disingenuous. They're not so much defending the things that Ilhan Omar said, but they're saying that she apologized and that they take her at her apology and are allowing her the space to grow. And they are saying that they will not pass further judgment until more time is given to her. And they draw a very clear line between the comments that she made and her apology and things the president said.
It's not great attention all the time, but Rep. Omar is getting a lot of attention. You've got to wonder, like many other freshman Democrats, are you wondering if she's building power in some way by being in the news so much, Sahil?
To an extent. I mean, she is reflecting anti-Semitic comments aside, which I think were roundly condemned. But on a policy level, she is reflecting a growing feeling among the Democratic Party that the United States should be less aligned with the state of Israel, at least this government of Israel, which it views as making policies with regard to settlements and moving the Jerusalem embassy or supporting a move to the Jerusalem embassy as damaging.
Got to leave it right there. Sahil Kapoor and Kelsey Snell, thanks so much to both of you.